Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome. Welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. And we are live on the Globe Trotting program this Sunday morning on the 23rd of April 2017. 23rd of April 2017. Quarter down. We're already quarter, more than a quarter way down. Or I would say a third down already for the year. Time has just flown past us. One holiday is finished already. Now people are starting to prepare for the next one that comes in June, July. And first of all, we're preparing for Ramadan already. And time has just flown past us. With the turmoil in the world, by the time we're reading what's happening around the world, time is just passing us. We should make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah protect us all, protect our progeny until the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. Allah protect us all, save us from all these calamities that's at the moment befalling us. Allah make it easy for one and all, inshallah. And Allah protect us all. Protect all the Muslims throughout the world. We've just heard now in the news what's happening to the Palestinians also, which has been ongoing. I've been there a couple of times and I've seen many, many of these things. Alhamdulillah, we were part of teams that, investigative teams that went in, and we've been taken to places in Palestine which you wouldn't just go to, but they've taken us to such places where you would cry blood. We've witnessed during the Nakba, personally, we've witnessed lots of things, and that wasn't right, and that wasn't nice. And when, before going, we looked, and I said, I'm going there with an open mind. But when I came back, I really realized what it was about. We were during the time of apartheid, we were born before that. So during the thick of apartheid, when we were talking of the 70s, the 80s, with the uprising, we had all those issues. And we've seen all those things. And what I've seen in Palestine when I was there, and what I've seen, the catastrophes, what I've seen how these people are treated, believe me, I think apartheid was a walk in the park. We should make dua to the Almighty for the Palestinian people, first of all, and the rest of the Muslim world, for what is happening. We should beg from the Almighty Allah, Allah protect the Muslims throughout the world, although it's destined to happen. All these things are destined to happen. The morale of the Muslims is going to be at its lowest. And we see that's what's happening. But the only thing that can change all that is dua to the Almighty Allah. And our conditions, our lifestyle, our way of living, let's change that for the better towards deen, inshallah, and Allah will change things. Allah will make it easy for the Muslims throughout the world. When we travel also, wherever we travel around the world, we look at the Muslims. And I give you a perfect example. We were at the airport on Thursday. There was a gentleman that came through, a Swedish gentleman. I was with Hafiz Siraj, and a Swedish gentleman walks in from the arrivals. And he's got a long beard, alhamdulillah. He had a kurta on. And as he walked through, he just looked at us, and he could see Muslim, because Hafiz Siraj had a kurta on there also, and there was another sati that was there with a kurta, with a long beard. So he came straight to us, and he greeted, Assalamu alaikum. He says, I'm Swedish. It's the first time I'm coming to this country, and I don't know where I'm going, but I need to go to Indonesia. Now, when he saw us there, then we got down talking to him, asking him more questions, asking him about himself and whatever it is. He's a new Muslim. 5 years now, he's reverted to Islam, alhamdulillah. And he says, I'm in Sweden. There were no Muslims there. It's just now for the last 15 years that we're finding Muslims in Sweden, Pakistanis and foreigners coming in. He says, but I never thought that I'd find Muslims in South Africa. I never thought that I'd find Muslims in South Africa. So, are there Muslims here? Are you people just at the airport? Are there Muslims here? So we said, not a problem. You're going to see for the next few days that you're here how many Muslims there are. And alhamdulillah, we'll be able to go to a few masjids and see also what's happening. He was taken aback to find that there are Muslims in South Africa. Now, like that, the notion of people around the world, we'd find that many, many, many a times we'll find people thinking differently. But Allah make it easy, alhamdulillah. Allah protect us all. Now, when it comes to different holidays also, where you go from around the world, where you travel to different destinations in the world, you'd find that whatever you do, do it for the better of the people, of the local people also. Be kind to them. Be proud of whom you are, and be proud of what you can do for others. and do good for other people. We're looking at this United Airlines, the clips that are going around. You're looking at American Airlines, how people are being treated on flight by the attendants or by the authorities. Now, things like that we see. Let's change that. You know, when it comes to road rage, when it comes to harming people, when it comes to being difficult with people, it's ourselves. We can't change that. All we can do is just walk away. We know that there's tempers. People have tempers in this world. But Islamically, you need to control your temper. Hadith, it's in Hadith also, you've got to control your temper. If you have a very bad temper and you're standing, you must sit down. While sitting, your temper raises for something, then you must lie down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. So we should do things like that. We should just bite your tongue. Relax. We don't have to be angry and start swearing and shouting and screaming. We all do it. I'm guilty of it as well. We all do it. But we should try and change that. Because wherever we go in the world, we're going to find people around the world that they do not agree with what we're saying. Sometimes the language barrier, if for example, if you have to go to a country where they don't speak English, a perfect example, you go to Vietnam, they do not most of them do not understand English. How do you communicate with them? If they cannot understand you when you're asking them something, are you going to scream and shout at them? Which I've seen. And that happens. We must not do that. We must change our way with them. That they can see what Islam is all about. Because the notion at the moment around the world is what is Islam? It's got that stigma. But what is true Islam? That's what we've got to show the people. They don't know that. They don't know that. Until recently I was, in fact about 2 weeks ago I was busy with somebody, a German person, and we were busy talking. And they only got Islam in their mind. They only knew about Islam since all this terrorism and all that. And that's what's in their mind. I sat down and I spoke to this person for a long time. We had a long chat. It was at a restaurant. We had a long chat. And I explained, this is what Islam is. These parties that you're seeing around the world, terrorist parties and so on, that's not Islamic. The Quran doesn't advocate that. It does not. There's no place for that in Islam. And it's just... It's personal gains which they are coming out to do, and they want power. That is it. So explaining to them, that's when they said, you know what, we need to read more about it, and do you have a book that we can read about these things? Fortunately, I had one, two books with me. I got it and I passed it on to them, and now they're asking questions. So there's many like that. We got to show our akhlaq wherever we travel around in the world. We got to do that. Now, it comes to travel. Travel is so much more than just ticking boxes and saying that you were there. It's not about doing things for the sake of doing them or seeing things just because you should. Travel is all about experience. It's a single moment that can change your life. It's the people that you meet who change your entire perspective. It's a way of thinking, and it's a philosophy. It's recognizing that you only live once. But if you do it right, once is all you need. And who says that? And where that comes from? That is the motto of Contiki. Now, Contiki Tours is a company which we had spoken before, and the reason being we're talking of Contiki today is that we had a couple of queries about Contiki. I didn't even remember 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago also, I received SMSs on our SMS line 072-786-5520 regarding Contiki. They wanted to just inquire more and ask me about Contiki. And fortunate enough, I did Contiki tours myself, and I was so fortunate to have done the Central European European tour with Contiki. And what a beautiful time we had. Fantastic. We really enjoyed our time. And I spoke about, I explained to them what Contiki was, and then I got another query thereafter. I think about a week and a half ago, another query came in, and I thought, let us talk to Contiki, let us talk about Contiki, and let's bring the awareness of Contiki, because it is something that's very, very different. It's organized and very different. And Kelly Jackson, I think you will agree with me 100% that Contiki is the way to go. Good morning to you, Kelly Jackson.
Good morning, Mohammed. How are you this morning?
Fine, and you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. And yes, I absolutely agree with you. It's the best way to travel. I'm a little bit biased, but by far, I definitely think it's the greatest way to travel.
You don't have to be biased. You've got to be factual, and this is factual. I'm telling you because I'm... Why I can tell you that is because I've done it.
Mm.
I've done it, and I've experienced it, and I know that what you're going to tell me now and what I've read about Kon-Tiki now while I was doing my bit of research also, and that what I mentioned to you, what I just said now, travel is so much more than just ticking boxes and saying you were there. And believe me, Kon-Tiki is that where you can say, no, I was there. It's something which I'm going back to where I left off when I was with Kon-Tiki. And that is what Kon-Tiki is about. Is that not a fact?
Absolutely. It's 100%. You get to see and do everything, but it's more about the experiences and the people you meet along the way that just make you see the world in a whole different way, if I could say that.
And I would say you create a new family while traveling. Is that the way?
Absolutely. It's quite funny on Kon-Tiki where you go, you can travel alone or you can travel with a group of friends. But one thing is for sure is you'll come back with a whole lot of new friends from around the world. People that you don't know how you ever lived without or ever existed without. You become such a close-knit family in whatever trip that you take. So whether you travel for 10 days or 46 days, those people you meet along the way just become almost like your new best friends, you know, because you share experiences that you can't, nobody else can relate to unless they were on the trip with you.
You know, I did it over 15 years ago. And we have got those friends up until today.
Absolutely.
And
Facebook's a great thing for keeping you connected.
We met them on tour, we were with them there, and we became so close together that not from South Africa, I'm talking of Mauritius, you have Australia, you have different parts of the world.
Absolutely.
And you still keep in contact with them.
Yes. All my contributors that I've ever been on, I've stayed in touch with all the people, and I know exactly which trips I was on with them, and they're all very special and come from all over the world, which is amazing.
Perfect. Now, Kelly, can you tell us your position? You are from Kon-Tiki, and what position do you hold at Kon-Tiki? We were just talking about Kon-Tiki, but who are you to Kon-Tiki?
No problem. So I'm Kelly, and I have been with Kon-Tiki for 9 years in the capacity of general manager for South Africa. Kon-Tiki is a global company, so I just head up the South African region, and we've got a team on the ground here that assists all South Africans wishing to travel abroad.
Perfect. And your offices are based?
Our offices are based in Rosebank in Johannesburg, and we have sales teams in Durban and Cape Town too, but we also work through travel agents throughout South Africa. So if you had to walk into a Penn Travel or a STA, for example, they would be able to help you with a Kon-Tiki or any travel agent around South Africa. We work through all of them.
All right. That's perfect. That is great. Now, Kon-Tiki. Lots of people probably see Kon-Tiki. At the moment, I see there's a marketing campaign. Lots of billboards have got Kon-Tiki, Kon-Tiki. I think there's one that I've seen just opposite on the M1 highway, opposite Standard Bank. Is that the Kon-Tiki one, if I'm not mistaken? But I've seen a couple of adverts somewhere also about Kon-Tiki. Now, those that don't know what Kon-Tiki is about, can we just brief them and tell them exactly what Kon-Tiki does?
Absolutely. So Kon-Tiki is holidays exclusively for the age group of 18 to 35. So we take young people from all over the world, and we exist to connect them to the times of their life, making every moment count. So what you will do when you go on a Kon-Tiki, you basically open a brochure or sit with a travel agent, and they will find the perfect trip for you depending on where you want to travel. And we travel to Europe, summer and winter. We go to Asia. We do Australia, New Zealand, North and South America. So you would choose which destination appeals to you, and then you would arrive because the trips are all set dates. So say you wanted to travel in September, we would give you a range of dates that would suit you, and then you would arrive at the starting point. And from that point, all the arrangements are taken care of by Kon-Tiki. So you generally travel around on a luxury coach, and when I say luxury coach, you must picture really funky coaches that have got reclining seats, televisions on board, like killer sound systems, so we play the best music, toilets on board, PowerPoints for charging, because we know when our travelers are traveling, it's very important to stay connected with the world, so there's Wi-Fi on board, you can charge your phones, cameras, iPads, laptops, all of that kind of thing. And we just take you to all the best places that you want to see. We have a trip manager on board who shows you around, tells you where to go, what to do, what to see, and really orientates you in each city. We have a driver that drives the coach and maneuvers all the little cities and streets of Europe, which I don't know how they do. I don't know about you, Mohammed, but I'm useless at parallel parking, so I could never even imagine driving a coach. So these guys are absolute legends. and you're on board with people from all around the world who have chosen that particular tour for the same reason, maybe different reasons that you have. Maybe you all want to go to Spain, but maybe somebody wants to go for the art and culture, somebody wants to go for the food, somebody wants to go for the nightlife. But everyone's in there because they've got a keen interest in Spain, for example. You travel together and you just create memories of a lifetime with a whole group of new friends. I always say when you arrive in Contiki that maybe those first 5 minutes is arriving at a party by yourself where you kind of feel awkward and you look for someone that you know. And then within the first few minutes, you've made eye contact with someone. And then after that, you're friends with everyone else there. And you never, you may go alone because Contiki, you can travel alone. But you've got, on a Europe trip, for example, 49 other instant friends. So it's an incredible way of traveling. It's safe and secure because you're traveling in a group. It's cost effective because everything is taken care of and arranged for you, from your transport to your accommodation to a lot of your meals to a lot of the sightseeing. If you had to arrange the same trip by yourself, I can assure you it would probably be at least 30% more expensive. So from a cost-effective point of view, safety, traveling in numbers, meeting new friends, seeing everything, it's just the perfect way to travel.
All right. Now, we've got to take a very, very short break for a minute or two. We're going to take the break, but talking of eye contact, I'm going to give you such an example, which I was blown away the first day when I reached London, when we were going to board the bus there, and I must give you this experience, and it was just amazing, and till today I talk about it, but we'll do that right after the break. It's having the courage to go further, it's breaking down barriers, seeking out the end of your comfort zone, and having the courage to jump. Adventure can be found anywhere, at any time, if you want it badly enough. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Mohammed Lambert. I'm talking to Kelly Jackson from Contiki Tours South Africa. She's the general manager, as we just heard before the break. And we're talking about Contiki Tours itself, what Contiki is all about and what it entails. Now, all what Contiki does is a holiday for you. They create a holiday for you. And so with traveling comes a responsibility to recognize the beauty of the world, but also to recognize how fragile this beauty is and how easily it can and is being lost. Take only memories, leave only footprints, and speak for the world when it can't speak for itself. That is what Contiki tells you. And Kelly, I think that's the perfect way of putting it.
Absolutely. Definitely, I love that.
Absolutely true. Now, before the break, I was telling you, I want to share this one very, very small experience of mine when I reached London with my wife. We came to London to board the bus to go to Dover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we came to the Contiki station in London, and as we come there, now, being the only Lambat in the world that I thought at the time, I stood there, and I heard them calling S. Lambat. So I walked forward, and nobody else came, so I walked forward, and I said, it's not S. Lambat, it's M. Lambat. They said, no, it's Ms. So I said, no, Ms., then it's F. Lambat, my wife. They said, no, it's S. Lambat, S for sugar. So I said, no, my wife is F for Freddy. So then they said, no, we've got an S. Lambat here. And they announced once, twice. And I think the third time, I see this girl comes forward and she says, I'm S. Lambat. And I looked at her and I looked and I said, okay. After they finished, I said, where are you from? She said, from South Africa. I said, I'm also from South Africa. I said, first of all, I asked, who's your father? And she gave me her father's name. When she gave me her father's name, her name being Shenaz, and when she gave me her father's name, I had a shock of my life. And I said, you know, when I was little, I remember your father so well. He used to be in our house daily without fail. He used to be, because I'm from Benoni, and he used to be daily in our house. I knew him so well, but I obviously didn't know his children. And that's where we together, and she was the Lambat, I was the Lambat, and we made a team with her auntie and so on. We made a team and we clicked together immediately. And from there, then, as you said, you make eye contact with other people, and then we started building relations with others and we became chummies. And thereafter, we found some other Cape Townians that were with us. And because we were the only, I think about 6 or 8 South Africans, what a unique experience. And I think the South Africans are the loudest people in the world, from what I gathered.
I think the Aussie, between the Australians and the South Africans, I definitely think you are onto something there.
But what a lovely experience. And that is now where we had to meet in London, where we were living. I'm talking literally where I am living. She's not more than 12 kilometers from where I am.
Oh, wow. Small world. What did they say? There's 6 degrees of separation. You'll know somebody through somebody else. There's always a small world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when it comes to Kon-Tiki, for preparations of Kon-Tiki, when somebody wants to decide, for example, now, if there are people that would like to do a Kon-Tiki tour, what would you advise them? I advise them, first of all, is we are in South Africa. You're looking to do a Kon-Tiki trip. Look at the weather at your destination or at your places where you want to go to. If you're going above the equator, remember you are picking up summer on that side for now, while we are entering winter. So what is your advice on holidays in general? If a client comes to you now and asks you, listen, I want to do Kon-Tiki, I know nothing, please tell me what to do, where to go, and how to go about doing all these things.
Okay, perfect. Well, we have a great website which I would recommend that anyone go look at. So if any of your listeners are wanting to have a quick glimpse and get a bit of wanderlust going, they should go to kontiki.com. The first thing I would ask someone is where they were wanting to travel. A lot of people have got destinations in mind that they've always dreamed of or seen. And then, like you say, you've established that maybe they want to go to Europe. Do they want a summer experience or a winter experience? And that's when you will decide of what time of year would be the best time of year to travel. Europe summer is one of the most popular times of year to travel. Everyone loves going to Europe in summer. So traveling from now until about the end of September, beginning of October. And then on our website, as well as all the brochures, we've got over 300 trips around the world. So you can imagine there's a lot of choice, a lot of variety. And then we would ask you, do you want to see and do a lot? Maybe you want to go to a whole lot of different countries. Maybe you've never traveled in your life and you just want to get a taste for Europe. Maybe, like you, you've been to Europe before and you fell in love with Italy, for example, and you want to go back and just explore Italy and really get to the heart of that destination. So Kon-Tiki's got 8 travel styles catering for different requirements for clients. So one is the discoverer, where you go and see and do it all and really experience a lot of different countries or different states. If you were in America, for example, we have high energy, which also does a see and do it all, but there's a lot more of a focus on nightlife. Because in Europe, you stay at the special stopover, so they have a lot of nightlife that actually happens at the accommodation where you stay. We have in-depth explorer, which focuses on just a particular country or region, so just Italy or just Japan or just Costa Rica, for example, which really allows you to get into the heart of a destination. We have easy pace, which is a more relaxed vibe, which you can do just one country or lots of different countries, but you'll spend a minimum of 2 or 3 nights in each destination. So that's really great for people who want to take it slow, and also maybe if you've got a little bit more leave than the regular South Africans do, then that's something you can definitely do. We've got camping, which is the way Kon-Tiki started out. And in Europe, camping's really fun, and the campsites are super awesome. We've got sailing and cruise, so if you're a little bit of a water baby, then you can do it by water. So we offer cruise trips, Croatia, Greece, and Turkey. We also offer Europe in winter, so ski trips. So if you're a little bit more of a snow bunny or you've never seen snow, that's a popular one too. And then last but not least, we have festivals. So if there's a festival in mind, like a lot of people might want to go to Munich, for example, for the German Beer Festival, if that was something, you know, that's up your alley. So we've got different travel styles, different destinations, different times of years. Our trips operate yearly. So it's just sitting down with each person and just assessing what their requirements are and then matching them up with a perfect trip. And I can assure you, we've definitely got something for everyone.
For having so many tours, you obviously, if somebody cannot fit themselves in any of your tours, then there's something that's something unique. They probably need to go to Mars then, I think.
Yeah, exactly what I think too.
There's so much to offer. Now, I must tell you something. When we went, like if we're talking of the Central European tour, I went sometime, I think it was in May that I went. Yes. And thinking that May would be hot in the whole of Europe. Mm-hmm. But when we came to, if I'm not mistaken, let me just think now. I think it was in Switzerland, and we had to go onto the Alps. We went up with a cable car. I think it's part of the Kon-Tiki tours where you go with a cable car to the top of the Alp mountains and whatever. Snow-capped. We were walking in snow at the time, summer in Europe, walking, and we were not prepared for it. Yes. And I must tell you, like they say in Afrikaans, your snot got stuck on your cheeks. It was like that.
Yes, listen, the weather varies. I've just got back from Paris last week, and being early April, I thought it would still be quite chilly, but it was actually beautiful. So I guess you've just got to take a little bit of everything just to make sure you're covered for all situations, early in the summer season as well as later in the summer season.
Now, there's something very important we've got to tell our listeners. And that is something which I think many people do not abide by. And it's a thing called time.
Yes, time is very, very important.
Personal experiences. We had personal experiences when it came to time. There were people that were left behind. So now that is why we got to tell our listeners about that.
Okay, so it's not because we're trying to be mean. It's due to the European driving regulations or driving regulations. Our drivers, obviously, their safety, your safety is of their utmost concern. So in Europe, for example, they're allowed to drive for a maximum of 4 hours, and then they have to stop for a 45-minute rest period, and then they can drive again. But usually you drive for like 1 hour, stop and do sightseeing and everything like that. At night, the coach has to stop for a minimum of 8 hours in order for the coach driver to get the minimum requirement of sleep to ensure that he's fully capable of driving our passengers around the next day. And there's actually technology on board which tracks how much driving the coach driver has done, when the coach was switched on, when it was switched off, and they get fined heavily. So what happens is if you don't get to the coach on time, remember it delays everything. So then they cannot get to the stop point in order for him to stop at that required period. So it is a very timed procedure in terms of the driving. So they do ask that you do stay on time purely because of that, because they'd hate to stop in the middle of nowhere and the coach driver cannot drive any further. So it's purely for your safety, your driving regulations, as well as just keeping everything, because we do have a lot of things booked. And now, Mohammed, since you traveled, we've developed a lot new product, and also at the Eiffel Tower, for example, on a lot of the trips, we don't queue. So we have a timed appointment that we have to be there, and our clients then go to the Eiffel Tower and skip all the queues. So we just like to be on time for those kind of events and those bookings too. So yes, on occasion we do leave people behind, but it's just purely so the rest of the trip can operate as per normal.
Talking of the Eiffel Tower, you become so free with everybody when you're on a trip like that. When we came to the Eiffel Tower, there was a snake. I'm talking of a snake of queues, like, you know, the queues were snaking to, I think, a couple of hundred meters. And we, being in the fortunate position of traveling with Contiki, we had to walk past all those people and get into the Eiffel Tower. And as we're walking past, I'm looking at all those people and I'm waving at them, hi, hi, goodbye, and we're going past. And we walked through and we went right through into the Eiffel Tower. So that was, you know, that's so much of fun. But like you say, because of the importance of time, we had to be there at a certain time, because as soon as we reached there, the operator or whoever it was that was from the Eiffel Tower was already waiting at the corner, waiting for us. As soon as we got off the bus, the person was there within minutes and we were gone from there.
We need
to tell our listeners of the hotels also, leaving in the morning at 5:30 sometimes leaving at 7:30. That is also of importance. And like you said, they have those time charts in the vehicles and so on, or they have those timers. I've seen it. It's somewhere they take it out from below the dash. While in Italy they stopped us, and the cops came and they pulled out some disc from below the dash, and they did some reading. Yes, I was so fascinated with how they operate there.
Yeah, with precision. It's the precision, and because of everyone's safety. You know what they say, if you're a tired driver, imagine sitting behind the wheel and you've got 50 people's lives, you know, in your hands. So they always encourage a good rest to make sure that everyone is safe on these coaches and driving within European regulation. But it applies to everyone, not just our coach drivers. So it's the regulations throughout the world, and every place is different one. So that's why it's very important. And each day your trip will start at different times, and I'm sure you remember getting a little day sheet put up.
Yes.
Meet here, I'll do that. And it's always, they only put it up every day because it's based on when you got in the night before. So they know if you got in at midnight the night before from a night out, the coach can only start again at 8 o'clock in the morning. So then you'll see that the trip only starts at 8. So it's always timed perfectly like that. And on the easy pace trips, for example, or the in-depth explorer where you're spending a couple of nights in each destination, you can have a few sleep-ins. It's not always early starts.
But also, as you mentioned in the offset, you have luxury coaches. So also, when you're in the bus, if you want to, you are not occupied all the time. Although the guide is busy talking of places, but we found many people if, being so tired, coming late at night, doing like when the bus arrived in certain towns and we were there by 7, 8 o'clock, we had our dinner. And after dinner, we decided, a group of probably 10 of us, well, the South Africans were always together, so the group of 6, 8 of us, and then a few joined the South Africans. No, we want to be with the South Africans. We want to be with the South Africans. Okay, join us. So we took them around, and with them, we were like, we used to go out and come back at 1, 2 in the morning. And remember, you got to be up by 7 o'clock again for breakfast. So the guys were tired. But in the bus, they caught up that bit of, what they call it, the power naps. They caught the power naps up, and then we were fresh again for the afternoon and moving on. Because you're traveling between country to country. That's how it is. So that's where you can sleep and rest a bit.
I always recommend you travel with one of those neck pillows with you, because they're perfect for the coaches too. So, you know, the trip manager usually talks as you get into a city or when you're traveling around a city to orientate you. But those drives in between, you can definitely have a few good power naps along the way and catch up on some much-needed sleep.
Exactly. What I loved also was we became so friendly with the tour guide that was doing all the discussions in the bus with the microphone. And what I also liked is, which I must inform the listeners, remember, if you're going on a contiguous tour, do not run into the bus and think you're going to grab the front seat. It doesn't work like that. You work on a cycle. That today you're sitting on the first left front seat, tomorrow you're sitting on the second one. The third day you're sitting on the third one. And so on and so forth. So you're getting a full cycle of the whole bus. You're not sitting only in front all the time. And that's how, I think that was an excellent way of doing things, for everybody to get the opportunity to sit in front.
Absolutely. It's nice just to also make, you know, maybe you think you want to sit at the front, but then you realize the back seat's more fun or something like that. And it's nice to just give everyone an opportunity to sit everywhere. Free and fair. That's how we are on Kentucky.
Oh, exactly. Now, when you say different parts of the world, I'm talking of the Central European part of it, because I've done that in my experiences and so on, where we also experienced about those gypsies, where we had the Australian family having their bags stolen, but even though we were warned about those gypsies, yet those bags were stolen with passports and their currency and all that.
Absolutely.
So things like that we were all warned about, and we have to warn all our listeners about that.
You would think coming from South Africa, we are quite vigilant, but I can assure you in different parts of the world, pickpocketing is rife. So you always have to, you know, keep your things close by, lock your passports and money in the safe of your bedroom. You know, rather safe than sorry, that's what I say. And when I travel, I don't know about the other girls, but I have one of those sling bags that you can put over you and just a little pouch in front of you. It's better than like a big handbag that somebody can just snatch off you. And you've just got it there and you just carry the bare essentials with you.
Absolutely true, absolutely true. Now, traveling with Kon-Tiki, our advice to the listeners is travel light?
Well, it just depends if you want to go shopping while you're over there. You're allowed 20 kilograms of luggage, but remember there's so many great bargains and so many different things you're going to see that you'll want to pick up something along the way. And also, you know what? It's super casual on Kon-Tiki. You want a nice little outfit for the evening, but I can assure you that girls don't need high heels because it's all cobbled stones. So just some nice splashy sandals that, you know, can make a nice little dress look nice in the evenings. And just pack casual, pack comfortable, because there's a lot of walking involved. There's a lot of fun activities. You know, some of them are more adventurous than others. And travel light, because you do ultimately have to lug your suitcase around. I would just say travel with as much as you can personally carry.
Exactly. Now, you said you do around the world. Your timings, do you group, like if anybody wants to go, for example, I feel I want to leave around about the 10th of May and come back around the 25th or maybe the 30th of May. What would you, if I come with those dates to you, what's your advice according to my dates now?
Okay, so maybe you've chosen a trip and you come to us with those dates. We'll look in the brochure and we'll say, actually, there's a trip departing on the 9th of May or another one on the 12th of May, which would suit you, that are in and around your dates. But generally, we've got a date that suits everyone, because there are dates in Europe, especially in summer, there's trips departing every two or three days. So there will be something in and around with what you can work. As long as you're slightly flexible by a day or two, we'll definitely have something for you.
So you so whatever you choose, you probably can't fit it in there.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you wanted to tailor-make a trip, which we do tailor-made, so if you got a minimum of 20 friends together and you came to us with the destinations that you wanted to see and provided they were geographically logical to travel to, we could arrange a tailor-made trip for you and include the dates that you wanted. But you would need a minimum of 20, a maximum of 50. So if you wanted to do something extra special, we could arrange that happily for you. We do a lot of school groups where schools approach us. For example, they want to do a French tour and just travel around France and experience French culture, French history, the French language, and we'll tailor make it for them, where a teacher accompanies them, our trip manager, and the students are anywhere between 13 and 18. They don't join our regular trips, obviously, because there's more adults on that, but we can arrange anything tailor-made too.
Okay, and then also, I've just got an SMS here asking me about, what about halal food now that Islam is recognized worldwide? Okay, it's basically, what about, because of the recognition of Islam being so fast now, what about halal food on your trips and so on?
I would love to say that we do it, but unfortunately we don't. Kontiki is very limited in the meal offerings, and at this stage it's vegetarian or non-veg. So a lot of our clients who do have food requirements do opt for the vegetarian option, and that caters for a lot of cultures and religions. These days, I mean, there are so many meal requests, whether it's kosher, halal, whether it's gluten-free, gluten intolerant, everything like that. So we try accommodate it as much as possible, but obviously we dine in various different restaurants around the world, and not all of them cater for every need. So we've just kept it simple, vegetarian versus non-vegetarian.
All right, exactly. And I must tell you, when we did the tour also, we were allowed to go at every restaurant, at every hotel that we went to. As soon as we reached the hotel, they allowed us, I think we were about five Muslims. Mm-hmm. They allowed us to go and talk to the chef directly in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Talk to him and tell him to prepare our fish the way we wanted it. And he made sure, he says, I guarantee you, and if you want to come stand with me, I will prepare the fish accordingly, wash your utensils for you the way you want it, and also we would prepare your fish accordingly. Because we had, most of it was fish and then pastas we had and so on. Especially the pastas in Italy was just out of this world, but they prepared it for us the way we wanted it.
No, that's awesome, and a lot of them are as accommodating as possible, but it's not something we can guarantee. So just based on your client, your listener asking that at the moment, we do try accommodate everything where possible, but at this stage from South Africa, you would obviously book, mark in there that you are a halal client, and you eat fish, or, you know, you would just prefer the vegetarian option, and then the trip manager will allow you to talk to the chefs along the way and cater for you as much as possible to ensure that you were satisfied according to your religion, but also got to taste the local food.
Yeah. And also the experiences that you share. I call it Kontiki a window shopping the world. Because what you do is like what happened to us. We went to a few countries and we spotted that this particular country, I want to come back and spend 10 days. I loved it so much so that I'll come back, because we only spent 2 nights there. I want to come back and spend 10 days in this country and do an exclusive holiday into that particular country. That's what I called Kontiki initially, and said it's a window shopping to holidays.
Yes. So 15 years ago, we only had trips like that, whereas now I told you we've introduced 8 travel styles. The one most people opt for is the one where you see the window shopping, like you go to different countries every 2-3 days, and now we've introduced those in-depth explorers where you can go back to just your Italy's or just your Spain's or just Japan or just Thailand, for example, whichever country you're wanting to travel to, and just spend time there and really get to know the destination, eat the local food, really absorb the local culture, the people, the sightseeing in a lot more detail than you did just stopping in there for 2 nights on your previous trip.
Perfect. And there's a country that I love most. I love this country to bits from anytime you tell me where to, I would tell you, and that's Vietnam. Do you do exclusive trips to Vietnam?
We do. We have 2 trips that operate to Vietnam. One is called the Vietnam Highlights, which is 10 days, and the other one is the Experience, which includes the Mekong Delta. So you can include that or not include that, but it just does Vietnam. So that's what we would include as an in-depth explorer trip, because you're just focusing on the one country to really get to the heart of it. But my brother actually did the Vietnam one, and he is also friends with everyone he made, and he just loved that particular trip. And Vietnam, he said, definitely has a special place in his heart too.
Absolutely. I've been there several times, and you know, even if you tell me to go there for the next 20 times, I'll still go there to Vietnam again.
But that's it.
We're already out of time, Kelly. I really thought we're going to be short of discussion, but I think we are short of time at the moment. But there's so much more to talk about. There's so much more that I've just read about Kon-Tiki. There's so much other things which I put together. I haven't even started with what I wanted to discuss with you so much on other things of Kon-Tiki. But we've got the gist of it. If there's anybody that's very much interested, you may SMS me on 072-786-5520. 072-786-5520. And Kelly, is there one number that you can give where if anybody wants to contact you, they can contact the office?
Absolutely. They can contact us via our website on kon-tiki.com or our office on 011-280-8481.
280-8481.
And we're not open on Sundays, but the rest of the week we are. So they can get in touch with us tomorrow. And if they don't want to wait, drop us a line on our website. And we'll happily assist.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much, Kelly. Thanks for taking your time. We're already up on news time, and I should be out of you already by now. But thank you very much for taking your time on a Sunday morning talking to us.
Happy.
But it was very interesting, and it just brought back all those memories to my heart now again. So it's just so lovely. What a lovely discussion. Thank you very,
very
much.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too. Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Kelly Jackson from Kon-Tiki Tour South Africa. And I'm telling you, if you are interested, do it. You will enjoy it most, which I've done. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think you will too. So inshallah, if it is, my SMS line 072-786-5520. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.